Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. On Beacon Hill, House and Senate lawmakers are trying to agree on how to change the state's voter-approved law, which legalized marijuana for recreational use. And they're having a tough time getting together on this. WBUR's Steve Brown is at the State House with the latest on this. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks, Anthony.
So it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, the Senate wants to basically stick with the law as approved by voters, but tweak it. But the House really wants to make much bigger changes. And one of the big sticking points is taxes. Can you tell us what's going on here?
Well, as far as taxes are concerned, and you are right, the Senate wants to tread lightly on that referendum that nearly 1.8 million Massachusetts voters last November approved, legalizing recreational or adult use marijuana here in Massachusetts. The Senate has had sort of a tread lightly approach, make a few tweaks here, changes there, whereas the House has been far more aggressive. And one of the things that the House bill does is actually repeals that whole thing that we passed last November. Just says throw it out. You mentioned taxes. Yes, taxes is one of the areas that there's big differences there. The Senate is sticking with the 12%, which is already in the law as it stands right now. The House wanted a lot more. They're going at 28%. Now, some are saying that maybe that's an old negotiating tactic. If you've ever tried to negotiate a salary, you don't go in saying what you actually want. You shoot a little bit higher. As a matter of fact, during the House debate, Mark Cusack, the chairman, said it's better to aim high now, and then you can always lower that tax later. So that's the feeling right now, is that they've gone with that 28% figure, with the fact that they might be able to negotiate it down. The Senate, though, really doesn't have to do anything. The law is already, the tax rate is already at the rate that the Senate says they want it to be.
Right. Now, another big difference has to do with local input. And here we're talking about whether towns and cities can hold a referendum on whether to ban recreational marijuana businesses, or whether municipal leaders should be the ones to decide that. And that's what the House wants to do, right?
That's right. And like the tax issue, the Senate's still in the same catbird seat here. They don't have to do anything. Their position is to keep it as the law it was passed by the voters last November. Don't do anything. Just allow the system to work as it is. And the way it is, it's a little bit confusing. And that's what some of the communities have been coming up here and saying, hey, you got to clarify this. We don't know whether we got to go to town meeting first or our appeals board first. They haven't quite figured out that. But ultimately, it comes down that a referendum in that city or town has to be put before the voters before they can say no to a marijuana business.
Right. Steve, it seems like the larger conflict here is about, you know, that vote that we mentioned, the will of the voters. What are lawmakers in the House saying about making changes to a law? I mean, as you said, throwing the whole thing out, that over 53% of voters approved.
I'm sensing a little bit of a disconnect between the House leadership and some of the members of the House. Everybody says, "Oh, we are going to respect the will of the voters, no matter what." Whenever you ask them that's the first thing right out of their mouths. But I think some of the rank and file feel that maybe they've gone a little bit too far. They haven't said a whole lot right now because it is in conference. And when two bills go into the conference committee, it's up to six legislators, three senators, three representatives, to iron out the differences. So again, they're saying we want to respect the will of the people. But then again, you look at the House vote and it says the will of the people from last November, we're throwing that out. We're starting from square one.
Yeah. So they're in conference now. I understand that they wanted to get a bill to the governor today. Is that even possible?
Nope.
In a word,
how's that?
No.
Nope.
Yeah, no. That's what I'm looking for.
That ship has sailed. That ship has sailed.
So what are we looking at? Is there a deadline? What's going to happen?
Well, this was a self-imposed deadline. The feeling was a year from tomorrow is supposed to be the day that retail marijuana sales, the stores, the dispensaries are supposed to open up to the public a year from tomorrow. And so the feeling was we need to have a year to get this Cannabis Control Commission in place, a board to govern the new industry, and that would be enough time. So, you know, they missed their deadline. They don't like to do that. They like to say, hey, see, we said we were going to do this, and we did. If they come back on Wednesday or Thursday of next week, which it's beginning to look more and more like that's what they might wind up doing, it's not going to make a whole lot of difference. There's already a law on the books. The voters approved it last November.
All right. Well, there's the latest on legalized recreational pot use in Massachusetts from WBUR State House reporter Steve Brown. Steve, thanks so much for bringing us up to date.
Thank you, Anthony.
And let's move on to another New England legislative battle, this one over taxes. Maine Governor Paul LePage says he will shut down the government today unless lawmakers in his state can agree on a two-year budget that does not include new taxes. And LePage says he's serious and he's mad. Here he is on WAGN Radio this week.
I've been talking to these people for 6 months. They've ignored. They're playing games. They're playing chicken at 100 miles an hour. And I'll tell you something. You want to play chicken? Let's play chicken.
All right. There's Governor LePage joining us now from Augusta, Maine, is Mal Leary. He's political correspondent for Maine Public Radio. Mal, thanks for joining us.
Afternoon.
So tell me a little bit about this standoff. How did we get to this point?
Well, it's interesting, given the story you just had on the air about the Citizens Initiative down in Massachusetts. It was a Citizens Initiative that caused all of this. Sponsored mostly by the State Teachers Association, they put on the ballot and the voters approved a 3% surcharge on incomes over $200,000 a year to raise additional money for schools in the state. That would have brought in about $320 million. That is mostly aimed at high earners and small businesses who pay their taxes through their individual income taxes. Republicans are having none of that. From the get-go, Republicans have said that's got to be repealed. We cannot have this high tax. We're the second highest top tax rate in the country for personal income. We got to get rid of this thing, and how do we do it? Well, that's been the battle that's been going on, the governor is talking about, for months now. And what the final compromise that is going before the legislature this afternoon is there's a slight increase in the lodgings tax as part of this budget put together to put additional money forward for education while repealing what the voters approved last November, that surtax. And the governor is adamant, as he has been throughout his time as governor, that he will not go for any tax increase unless it's to lower another tax.
I see.
And the way he's looking at this, that's not what's happening.
All right, let's listen a little bit more to Governor LePage. Here he is earlier this week again on WGAN, and he's making it pretty clear what he'll do if he doesn't get what he's demanding.
I will tell you this. If they put a tax increase, ready for a shutdown. Mm. End of story. I've told them since January, you increase taxes without lowering the income tax, I will take my 10 days.
So, Mal, when he says, I will take my 10 days, that's the constitutional 10 days he has to sign a budget, right? And if he doesn't sign it, then the budget's dead, essentially.
Yeah, but it's 10 days in which he can sign it, veto it, or let it become law without his signature.
Yeah.
He's made it very clear today in a news conference that was called on 5 minutes' notice that he's going to veto the budget, but he's going to take the whole 10 days to do it, forcing a shutdown because he says the legislature is abandoning its responsibility to give him a budget that he can sign.
I see.
So that's where we're at.
I see. So let's assume the partial shutdown goes into effect. What happens? What remains? What's shut down and what remains open in the state of Maine?
We went through one of these several years ago, 1991, so we sort of have a template of what's going to happen, and the governor's already announced he's going to use his emergency powers to order the state police, to order workers at the psychiatric hospital, at the prison system, to continue to work. The courts will be open. A few of the courts will be open part of the time during the shutdown, so there's some access to the courts, but a lot of the normal activities will not occur until the shutdown is ended. In essence, it's what's called essential workers, which the governor determines under his emergency powers. And it's varied. For example, he says state parks are essential, that he have rangers there to prevent vandalism. So they're going to be open, even though they weren't 26 years ago, the last time we had a shutdown.
I see. And now, if the government is shut down, so what are the biggest concerns? I mean, I've read, for example, that low-income residents are concerned about state benefits, such as food and cash assistance being interrupted. Is that, in fact, a possibility?
That's not going to happen. The advocates for those folks were about to go to federal court this afternoon when the state agreed to say we're going to make those payments. Most of the money for those payments, two-thirds of it, is federal money anyway. So that's kind of off the table at the moment. The biggest group affected here are those state workers who are not considered essential. That's around 10,000 is what I'm told. They're going to be out of work, and they're not going to get paid. And they don't know when they will go back to work until the shutdown is resolved. So those are the folks that are most directly affected. Average Maine citizens, they're not going to be able to go to the Bureau of Motor Vehicles and register their car or get their license. Those sort of state services will be disrupted. It's a partial shutdown, not a total shutdown.
Got it. One more question, Mal, and this sort of gets to how LePage's position is playing across the state of Maine. I mean, if I'm understanding this correctly, legislators came together, they sort of compromised, but Governor LePage is being pretty hard line here. How is his position playing with voters across Maine? Do we have any idea of that?
We don't have any sort of polling data on that, but I can tell you that what you have to remember is, like any legislative body, there are really four caucuses. And right now you've got the Senate Democrats and the House Democrats and the Senate Republicans on the same page. It's House Republicans who are supporting the governor. Most of them are supporting the governor. And that's where the budget could fail.
I see.
Is that they get enough votes, they can sustain a governor's veto. So that's the issue that's swirling, is how many House Republicans will stick with the governor and how many will not.
All right. That's Mal Leary. He's political correspondent for Maine Public Radio, talking about what could be a government shutdown in the state of Maine by the end of the day today. Mal, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, the history of the famous one famous 4th of July tradition. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.